ATX, June 17th. It's a Thursday. Flex Live, Snoop Daniel, Zach Lucero. Time is 7 o'clock on the dot. Huge show tonight. So huge, in fact, we got to jump into a break about 7:15. We'll tease what guests are coming up next. But real quick, Zach, how are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing good. State 7-on-7 is coming up close. So I've been on my mind, thinking of all the content, thinking of all the fire stuff that we're going to come out with here next weekend.
It's going to be sick. All right, coming up on the show, coming up at 7:20, Bo Denscor of the Georgetown Eagles District 25-5A MVP. This man had a beast mode season.
Yeah, All-Star Game MVP at the Central Texas All-Star Game over there at the Dell Diamond, I think it is. They just had the softball one a few weeks ago, and the baseball one. They had the basketball one, and during that season, maybe a football one coming soon.
All right, state finalist or state semifinalist. I guess if you can make it to the state tournament, we'll just say state finalist. Still a sophomore, Colin Correjo, all-district infielder for the Rouse Raiders. First teamer, Zach, in the class of 2023 coming up at 7:25.
Man, this is why we always speak so highly about Weiss, is because they're always showing out with these underclassmen. We're like, man, when is Weiss not going to be good?
Rouse.
Yeah. That's what I mean. When is Rouse not going to be good? Because we keep talking about freshmen and sophomore and juniors, and they always have incredible seniors, but you're like, man, they have so much staying power just because of their youth on their teams.
Yeah, and we'll also talk with Donald J. Boyles, the Photog Baseball GOAT, at 7:30 to kind of wrap up what was an exciting baseball season for the Austin area.
Yeah, and I guess he's like a UT informant for baseball, I guess.
That's
what your boy was saying on Jeff Howe.
Oh!
He was saying that he hits him up for, like, Texas recruiting baseball stuff.
You heard that?
Yeah. Okay. I'm listening.
You listen to the horn. Okay, yeah. That's what's up. Okay. By the way, Longhorn Station, shout out. We cover high school sports, by the way. All right, then 7:40, Trent McConnell, safety linebacker for the Georgetown Eagles. Just got it, picked up another offer less than 40 minutes ago. He joins the show at 7:40.
Yeah, good size on him. You have him listed around like 6'1", close to 200 pounds, 180-something. Can play that kind of hybrid position, safety linebacker. And they just clinched State 7-on-7, so we'll see them next weekend as well, and we'll talk about that a bit.
Probably our biggest guest of the night, Che Wabuku, Maynard Mustangs, joins the show 7:45 p.m.
Yeah, he just released his top five: Purdue, Marshall, Pitt, Liberty, and Michigan. I feel like we're seeing this top five now, but we're going to see some bigger offers coming even soon.
Oh, for sure. Connor Eleanor, you want to talk about having like artsy goats on the show tonight? Donald J. Boyles at 7:30, Connor Eleanor at 7:50.
Yeah, I know he's Trevor Hines level talent. I mean, he's going to do what Trevor did when he was at UT.
Yes!
That same kind of thing, being a part of the creative team for UT Athletics, and this kid's just a special talent, and kind of talk to him about how he got into following sports the way he does and creating content the way that he does.
We might need more than 5 minutes with Connor, because his story is so outstanding, and there's so many different levels to it, from covering Greg Brown with basketball to covering the Round Rock football team and everything in between. But Connor Eleanor coming up at 7:50. My man Paul Rodriguez, recon athlete, coming up at 8:20. We'll break down state sevens and talk a lot more. So exciting show lined up tonight.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we could go for a long time just talking about state sevens. I think we should try to save some of that conversation for next week.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll have more state 7-on-7 participants on the show next week. But it's an exciting time here in Austin sports. You would think that it's a lull. Baseball season just ended. Kids are fully at summer, but this is really peak for recruiting, peak for 7-on-7, peak for just some fun topics to talk about.
And then peak for changeover, Zach. We had three major head coaching changes that I don't think anybody in the Austin area expected. I know I didn't either, and really I want to highlight four position changes, and one is not even a head coach position change, but I think it will affect maybe the landscape. And we got to start with our top story, and that's Cedar Park head coach Carl Absek, who took over for Joe Willis in 2015 to win a state championship in his first year as a head coach in 2015. Well, fast forward 6 years later, Carl Absek headed to Barbers Hill.
You kind of had to wonder if something like that was coming after his son graduated. His son, obviously a huge part of this football team this past season, at receiver. But, I mean, it's a great opportunity. I feel like we talk about Barbers Hill a lot on this show.
Yeah.
They're just so talented. And
Because their softball and baseball teams just won state championships. That's the season we just got done wrapping up covering.
And it's just crazy because after all, it is a business. Like, this is people's job. Like, it's his job to be a head football coach, to how he supports his family. So, obviously, Barbers Hill was a great opportunity for him and to go establish a program over there to be at the level of their baseball and softball team. But man, like, we just saw him at like Travis SQT.
Yes.
And I remember being at the Westlake one, like, oh, Cedar Park's here. I wonder if Coach Abtec's here. And he wasn't now. And I'm wondering if this had something to do with it. So, huge congratulations to him. And I feel like Snoop, I was going to text you earlier today. I feel like he's like that level of friend to you and friend to the brand, wherever you've been. I know it's like kind of off brand for what we do on this show, but I feel like we should have him on.
Okay. Why not?
Yeah, I feel like he's a fun guy.
You know what? I'll text him. I'll shoot him a text tonight and see, because we have a kind of a wide open 8 o'clock hour, and maybe he comes on, maybe he don't. Who knows? Let's see what kind of pull flex.
And we
has.
Sent him a t-shirt.
So. We did, and we repped for Gunnar Abtec, who had a baller football season.
You always
one.
Reposted his selfies.
Yes. Yeah. Whenever he and his son would take pregame selfies, and Gunnar actually scored the final run of the Cedar Park baseball team when Ryder Hernandez drove him in against Rouse when Cedar Park lost that game 3-1. But Gunnar Abtec, of course, the Abtec family means so much. It's our pinned tweet on Twitter. Thank you, Abtec family.
And him thanking you back.
They'll never forget the support.
Yeah.
All right, Carl Abtec, we'll miss you. Okay, man, I don't want to say not as big, but dang, pretty surprising and a big, big name. Vista Ridge football head coach Rodney Vincent, who's been there for the past 13 years, took him to the state Final Four in 2015, that same year that Cedar Park won state. It's almost like Carl Abtec and Rodney Vincent were on the same timeline, but fast forward to 2021, Coach Rodney Vincent headed to West Texas to coach Shallow Water.
Yeah, and again, this is another program that's losing a huge piece. Obviously, Coach Abtec is losing his son to the program, who's graduating, and Coach Vincent is losing arguably one of the most transcendent quarterbacks ever to come through that school, and Kyle Brown, yes, sir. So I mean, Vista Ridge is probably in a rebuilding year, although Des Thomas has looked really good in 7-on-7. They weren't able to qualify for the tournament next weekend unless they're playing somewhere this weekend.
Possibly.
But there is a bunch of talent. Wyatt Gates is a huge talent for the football team. And again, it's just opportunity. We forget that it is a business. It is how these guys support their family. And if there's better opportunity, kind of like you coming over here to the Horn to start Flex ATX, and it's all about opportunities and doing what you can for your career. So huge shout out to both of these guys.
Yeah, Tanner Brosi too. Watch out for that guy. Man, he's gonna go so hard next year. Everybody's gonna know Tanner Brosi. Anyway, all right, that's Mr. Okay. More coaching changes. Anderson Trojans head coach Daniel Hunter resigns the position. Trojans looking for someone. They start the season off in 71 days. Taco Shack Bowl at House Park, downtown ATX. But now who's going to take over the helm at Anderson?
Yeah, whoever takes that job has got to get it cracking, because like you said, they're the first game every year, and it's something he's got to get used to. Every year he's going to be playing that first game in the Taco Shack Bowl. But again, it's an Anderson team that had a big bounce back year last year. I think it's the perfect time to take over this program now that they've kind of solidified themselves into 5A. It's a tough program to take over if they're still in 6A. But being a 5A school, I think this is a place that they can compete.
Well, it's still going to be tough now. 11-5A. You remember, Zach? Like, it's almost like you question, like, man, is this really easier? They got to deal with Cedar Park and Manor and Georgetown.
Yeah, I think just strictly on the numbers, though. I mean, even when Anderson was not playing like Travis or Westlake, even some of the other teams in that district, they were struggling with just purely off of numbers.
Yeah.
Purely off of guys in a 6A school having to play both ways. So I think you come into a great situation at Anderson as a 5A school. Hopefully they can find a coach, or I'm sure what we'll see in a lot of these positions is for them to put in interim guys or maybe promote someone from within.
A position coach. And by the way, Anderson, look out. Is Anderson a passing powerhouse? Back-to-back state championship tournament appearances, The year prior, of course, there was nothing due to COVID, but 2019, Carsten Groos leads the team to the championship tournament in College Station in 2019. And now, Fred Dale, Gephardt, they're also running out of freshman named Gephardt. I can't remember if he's a freshman or a sophomore. But anyway, but the Anderson Trojans are going to College Station second year in a row. So obviously, they've figured out something with the passing game there. But now Coach Hunter is gone. It, not that he coaches sevens, but... you know, something to build on.
Did you make it over there to that pool D at all at that,
I did.
At that Westlake tournament?
I did. I mean,
Anderson 7-on-7 is like pretty hype. Like
they were.
it's pretty interesting to see how some schools handle 7-on-7. Some take it very businesslike because their coaches are there and the coaches are watching and they're running their actual school plays. And some schools, kind of like Hutto, are doing all that, but they're having fun with it. And Anderson's one of those programs. You see, they beat Temple and qualified for state. And you're like,
that's
man,
wild.
How do they do that? And then you go watch them out there in the Westlake SQT beat up on Round Rock and just having a good time out there, and you can really see it.
I think Colin Page is going to have the breakout season of breakout seasons and a true District 11 5A MVP candidate if he's able to sneak Anderson into one of those four playoff spots. We're talking coaches and administration changes. Breaking news all this week. My last, fourth, and final note, not a head coach, but a principal, Lake Travis principal Gordon Butler, headed to South Lake Carroll.
And I think he really rivals Principal
Garcia and
over
Hendrickson.
At Hendrickson, and just his involvement with athletics and as much support as he shows, and really being a really a cool figure for the kids, very relatable, very fun. But I mean, it's like Travis. I'm sure just like the coaching positions over there, you can be a principal, if you can be any sort of administrator over at Lake Travis, I'm sure that's a. That's on the top of people's list for potential jobs.
Yeah, if you look at his social media involvement alone, I would say, yeah, a big school district or big school like South Lake Carroll is going to come calling. And, you know, that's what you have to be like. Who would have ever thunk it? But administration, you got to be social media savvy.
Man, if Del Valle can get the IMG head coach to be their football head coach, Lake Travis school to looking for a principal, they can get the president. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to go down a political road. So I got like 2 minutes. So I just want to kind of recap what, as the music bed runs out. Okay, recap what the four top changes were in the area. Cedar Park head coach Carl Apsek heads to Barbers Hill. Vista Ridge head coach Rodney Vincent heads to Shallow Water. Anderson head coach Daniel Hunter resigns his position with the Trojans. And then not a head coaching position, but Lake Travis loses principal Gordon Butler to South Lake Carroll. So I think the big question now is, who replaces Carl Apsek? Who replaces Rodney Vincent? Like you said, interim positions likely.
So of the three, do you think we see two of the three be... like hire from within, or two of the three be hire someone new?
I want it to be someone new. All right, so here my, because we don't have long, and I kind of hate.
Let's tease it.
Okay, so I've heard the offensive coordinator for Vandergrift, Mauser.
Coach Mauser. I love Coach Mauser.
His
he
name
is awesome.
His name is being thrown around.
For the Cedar Park one?
It would be his first head coaching position. I've heard it more for Vista Ridge.
Okay.
I
was about to say, you could. Cedar Park is one of the biggest coaching openings in the nation.
In the nation?
I don't know about maybe the state.
Well, in the state for
the
sure.
The state, 100,000%.
Yeah.
Maybe the nation. I don't know.
Brady Ruiz came, the basketball assistant coach at Vandergrift, former, went over to take the head coaching position at Vandergrift or for Vista Ridge basketball. So I could see something like that happening. The other name, Glenn is not going to like this, Rob Schoenfeld. I think he came up as a defensive coordinator for Cedar Park when they won the state championship in 2012. Could he wind up leaving Glenn and winding up at Cedar Park?
You know, I don't know. I feel like we're gonna.
That's messy. I
feel like we're gonna hear a name. I feel like we're gonna hear a name that we've heard before. You know what I mean? We're gonna hear a name that has been in the news and someone that's coached or had something to do with some of the major programs in the area. If you're looking for who's gonna take over that Cedar Park job.
All right. When we come back from the break, Georgetown All District MVP Bo Denscore. It's the Flex.
B&E.
Just south of Zilker Park, those hiking trails, the green.
FLX ATX is a Thursday night Flex ATX. I'm your host, Zach Lucero, at Zach Ain't Whack on all my social media, at FLX ATX for all of our social media. We can get all the news, all the scores, 7-on-7 updates, recruiting updates. Speaking of the recruiting updates, we got a 5-star producer. If you haven't heard of him, you must be hard of hearing, Mr. Snoop Daniel. What's up?
Hey, a couple of things I forgot to mention at the top of the show. For as far as verbal commitments, there are a lot of offers going on right now, which we'll talk with Paul Rodriguez about coming up about 8:20 when we talk with a Recon athlete. But Will Stone out of Regents, the kicker, class of 22, he's going to join his former Regents classmate, Pierce George, on the 40 Acres UT campus. Will Stone, verbal commit to the University of Texas. Hook him.
Dude, his like pictures that he took there were like kind of hard for a kicker. Like you would never was flexing on people, man. That was crazy.
So he took the visit to Michigan State and he got that offer and he looked like Abercrombie tough guy on the on his little offer. But then the commitment, man, that's huge because usually when you talk about Austin area kids committing to Texas, it's normally like a late commit, not someone a year in advance.
Not since Mac Brown days. He used to recruit super early like that. But I think what Cameron Dicker has done for the Austin area kicking family or whatever, Oscar Dugicevic for playing for the Carolina Panthers right now, and then what Michael Dixon did for just the popularity of kicking
being a
cool punter and doing so well. I think really both of those guys, all of those guys are really a huge piece of getting guys like Will to commit to the University of Texas, getting guys really invested in the position. And you know, we should have Oscar on again soon just to talk about what it takes to really say, I feel like people always say if I played football, I'd be a kicker because it's the easiest thing to do. But there's so much work that goes in it for Will to be able to commit to the University of Texas for kicking. He's worked so hard, and I can't wait to have him on the show in the future.
All right, and last but not least, Jolie Benson, the superstar junior all-district soccer player for the Georgetown Eagles. She makes her a verbal commitment. She's going to Dallas Baptist University.
Yeah, Dallas Baptist. You all watch them in the Super Regional, but I mean, all of their sports are super competitive. I had a friend that played volleyball there, soccer over there as well. This Georgetown program is really a top tier just athletics program in every sport, baseball, softball, volleyball, football, soccer as well. So I mean, she's just another product of that factory over there for Division I athletes.
And speaking of Georgetown right now, all district 25-5A, Bo Denscore on the phone right now. Bo, we appreciate you joining the show. Thank you, family. Appreciate you so much.
Thank you for having me. How's it going?
That's what's up. Okay, first off, before I talk about the season, I got to talk about you going yard at Dale Diamond. And I know, people always talk about how hard of a park it is to hit one out. Can you kind of talk about the All-Star game, what the pitch was? Did you know what was coming? Who did you hit it off of? And just tell us about the home run. Take us to there.
Oh, yeah, that game was fun. I know it was an honor being nominated for that game, but I actually knew that pitcher. We used to play a couple years ago together. His name is Joseph Rojo, goes to Hendrickson. But yeah, basically, I just wanted to come out and have some fun. The dude right before me got walked. I was coming up. I'm usually the kind of guy that would swing first pitch. He threw me a fastball on the inside part of the plate. I liked it. I got a nice barrel on it, and it just went out of the park, luckily.
That's what's up. All right. So, Bo, I got to talk about Georgetown because the year before the COVID shutdown, the team goes to state, and then Coach Jordan Vieira comes in and kind of starts his new era last year, but this is his first full year as a head coach. Can you talk about Coach Vieira and the resiliency he showed and the job he did as the head coach for Georgetown?
Yeah, he did a good job. He tried to follow old Coach Foster's footsteps, and I really liked how he tried to do that because he wanted to keep the same program going that Foster had going for the last couple years. And so props to him for that. And unfortunately, the season didn't really go how we wanted, getting bounced first round. But you know, I wish them luck for the next couple years, and I hope they go far and win it one day.
Yeah, you said you really hope that they go far, and you talked about just kind of the foundation that this new head coach is building over there. Can you talk about some of the guys that maybe we should keep an eye out for seasons to come? Maybe some of the underclassmen that really impressed you this year.
Yeah, you can look out for Eli Hellman. He was a sophomore this year. He's doing really good. Had a couple clutch hits. EJ Davis is another good one. Really good pitcher and outfielder. And Zach Mazok is a good catcher too.
And you're committed to Ranger, right? To play baseball?
Yes.
Can you just talk about, for people that don't really know, the kind of the recruiting landscape for baseball and how big of a deal it is to go junior college? Can you talk about just the opportunity to grow as a player and then potentially the type of springboard that going to junior college out of high school is?
Oh, yeah. So I was planning on going to a junior college. Ranger was probably the best option for me anyways, with all the offers I had. But I mean, I like JUCOs. You can go 2 years, be there for 2 years, then, you know, transfer to a big D1 school, hopefully, is what I'm planning on doing. But yeah, if all goes well, I know some players even get drafted out of JUCO schools, so that's pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
But I had a friend from high school from here in Henderson that went to Ranger out of high school and then ended up getting drafted by the Marlins. So hopefully you'll follow that
yes,
same
sir.
Path.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I hope so.
Bobby slamming too. He's very like subdued, but this dude is a monster. District 25-5A. Like we're running low in time, and we're about to talk to your district mate, Colin Correjo, next of Rouse. But can you kind of talk about the competition in 25-5A? And it's one of the toughest in the state, no doubt.
Yes, you know, it was pretty tough. They have Cedar Park, and, you know, Rouse did a good job. They came fourth in district, but still went really far. So props for them. But it sucks coming in second against Cedar Park, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is. It was fun beef for a little bit on Instagram. So, you know, just all fun and games. Well, I'll remember it and laugh. Bo, I appreciate you, family. Thank you so much. Congratulations on a great career. We're definitely going to watch your progress at Ranger College. Please stay in touch. You know how we do on Flex. We ask if you got shout-outs at the end. Are you shouting out to anybody tonight?
Yeah, I'll shout out my family, you know, my mom and my dad for everything they do to me and all my coaches that have helped me along the way. So thank you for them, and shout out to them.
Yeah, Bo knows. Bo didn't score. EFND for life. Bo, thank you, family.
Thank you.
All right, that's what's up. It's a Flex, Zach.
Yeah, you talk about just the talent in that district, but just the talent in Austin, and the talent in, like, anyone with a 512 area code. If your area code is 512, yeah, you're probably good at baseball. That was basically the trend this year.
So when is 737 going to come and be hip?
What is 737?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Flex ATX, Snoop Daniels, Zach Lucero. We just got done with Bo Dinscore, Georgetown Eagles, repping an outstanding baseball season. But now we're going to take it one step up. State semifinalists, my man Colin Correjo, super soft, Rouse Raiders on the phone. Colin, I appreciate you joining the show, family. Thank you. Okay. Sorry for the awkward applause. It's weird when two people applaud, yeah. But when three people is a little better. So we might hold off on the applauses tonight. Colin, before we get into the interview, I got to play this clip because I was chilling with y'all in the dugout. It was Saturday morning at 12:18 a.m. This audio right here, courtesy of SHN Sports, Michael Francis on the call.
Bring it to the count to Solomon. Two on with two outs. Evans.
That ball's hit hard.
Deep to left. And it's over the fence, and the Rouse Raiders are your regional final champions.
We won. But that's it.
Your Rouse Raiders are on their way to state, baby.
Yes.
They're on their way to state.
All right. That ball was drilled.
Okay. All right. So when you saw Keegan hit that ball, Colin, what was going through your head at that moment, 12:18 in the morning on Saturday?
Oh, man. At that point, all I was hoping was that ball could drop. Like, honestly, that ball was crushed. Keegan did a great job battling all game. It was crazy. I just needed that ball to drop. I wanted to go home.
You know, and that was one of the things he said, because I'm telling you, I was honestly scared in that dugout, because what, nobody getting no hits, and everybody was so frustrated. You know, they're like, you get a hit. No. It was lit in there. Like, I mean, one, it was raining. The pitching was outstanding on both sides. You know, like, God, I mean, just that series against Dripping Springs, especially that game two, was one to remember. Can you kind of talk about your senior class? I know with you and Oscar Salazar and Colby Diaz and all the youngsters coming back next year and Heinrich. But can you talk about the class of 21? You talk about Andrew Kidhill. You talk about Keegan Solomon. Sparshu, all those great seniors that helped lead y'all to program history for Rouse.
Yeah, man, all those guys are workhorses, man. Nobody sees the work that they put in after school or at night or whenever. They only see what happens on the field, but those guys all work their tails off all week, all day.
and they're the reason we made it that far.
Yeah, yeah. Like Snoop mentioned, you guys really made school history and didn't finish where you wanted to in terms of the district standings, but really turned things on in postseason baseball. Can you talk about the flip that you guys switched once y'all made playoffs and what it was for you guys to really turn things around and go on the historic run that you did?
Yeah, it was really just mentality for playoffs, man. And once you get in playoffs, it's just like completely different. The adrenaline rushes a little bit more and you just want to go out there and win and just crush the other team.
And obviously, I'm sure this season was probably one of the more fun seasons and probably in your baseball history, unless you had like a super crazy like Little League season when you were like 9 or something like that.
You're only a sophomore.
But when you look back at this season, this historic run, what are some of the high points of the season that you'll remember?
That Dripping Springs game, man, that game's one I'm never going to forget. 14 innings, man, we were all dead tired. Yeah, that was crazy. New Braunfels Canyon game 3.
Yes, yes.
We had most of our seniors out. We were playing all underclassmen because injuries and stuff just wasn't going our way, but we went out there and battled. It was awesome to see those underclassmen go out there and do their thing.
Yeah, that was when the freshman Oscar Salazar twirled the complete game. So yeah, I'm telling y'all, they got a squad coming back too. By the way, Colin Correjo, Rouse Raiders, first team All District as a sophomore. You know, you just heard me talk with Bo Dinscore, and by the way, Donald J. Boyles on the other side of this Colin Correjo interview. But you heard me talk with Bo Dinscore from Georgetown about how tough 25-5A is. Can you talk about what it meant for you to be named first team as a super sophomore in such a competitive district?
Yeah, that's an honor because it's just crazy how much work you have to put in and the results you see whenever you do that. And I feel honored to just have that ability to get that award.
And then I mentioned before we took your call, just the talent in the 512, just the talent in the Austin area. What do you think it is about being in the city of Austin or what is it that really has led to so much talent? All these guys committing Division I, going to play for Texas, for Oregon State, all these big-time universities. Is it like the leagues around here? Is it some of the select teams? Is it some of the coaches? What do you think it is?
Yeah, it's got to be. The coaches around here, they're top-notch, man. There's even the high school coaches, Coach Crimpine, and they all do what they can to get their guy to the next level. And even at the select leagues, you got ex-major league players coaching up kids and getting them where they need to be. And that's why I think 512 is pretty dominant in baseball.
All right, Colin Correjo, Rouse Raiders. Colin, we appreciate you joining the show. We're stoked that we get to cover you another 2 years. So we're going to be all up in your face with the cameras. So just, you know, be prepared for it. Before we let you go, you shouting out to anybody?
Shout out my parents, my mom, my dad, and for them helping me getting to this point, and Coach Crimpine and all the coaching staff at Rouse.
Hey, Rouse Raider Nation, one love. We appreciate you, Colin Correjo. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
It's a flex, Zach.
Yeah, and since the select teams here are top-notch. I mean,
Lone Star.
People not in the area coming and traveling to Austin for practices, or you have Austin teams traveling to Dallas to practice with some of their with some of their talent. I think this is just a hotbed right now, and you could really see that the trend for Austin athletics, the trend for recruiting in the area in all sports is just on the upward trajectory.
You know, a big proponent of that, Donald J. Boyles, a photog goat, Texas high school, college baseball star. I mean, like, but his face is already on the Mount Rushmore for journalism for Texas high school baseball. But Donald J. Boyles, whenever we have you on the show, people go nuts. So we appreciate you joining us tonight. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, that right there, I've got tears in my eyes.
Aw, Donald. Well, we want to make it a happy interview. Donald, no, but you are.
And
like,
happy.
Okay, good. Yeah. Oh, that's very nice. Okay, so Donald, can you kind of talk about the Austin area? And like, I know you cover much more, but it seems like you have a special place in your heart. I know the 512 does for you, but what you saw from this area, you know, after a season that was stripped away by COVID.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Snoop, it's the coaches of the area high schools who really deserve the accolades. To get their players to this point of playing a full season without any interruptions. You know, last year, March 14th, boom, done, dead. But this year, rock and roll, let's go.
Yeah, Donald. So I asked Colin this question. I'm going to pose to you as well. Just what do you think it is about the 512 that makes it such a hotbed for baseball this year? I mean, I think we've always seen the talent. I shouldn't say this year. We've always seen the talent and sending guys to the major leagues. You mentioned the high school coaches, but do you think it's that? Do you think it's the select teams in the area? Do you think it's some of the select coaches in the area? Is it the leagues? What do you think it is about Austin?
I think when you have a flagship university here in the city, it really puts a big emphasis on the coaches in the area to do a fabulous job, whether it's select teams, whether it's high school baseball coaches. I mean, those two areas, they do work together to benefit their players.
Donald, so obviously University of Texas is going to Omaha. They're on the road right now and going to open up on Sunday against Mississippi State. Coach Pierce has done a good job, especially lately, of recruiting the Austin area. We see guys like Pierce George and Cameron O'Bannon already committed. Ace Whitehead committed to the University of Texas. After this run for Texas, whether they win the College World Series, just the fact that they made it there, do you think we're going to see even more of an upward spike in the recruiting, especially to the University of Texas, here in some of the local talent?
You will always see coaches coming in, whether it's TCU, A&M, Vanderbilt. I mean, Vanderbilt just loves kids from the state of Texas. And I know the state of Texas college coaches don't want me to say that, but there's a lot of truth to that. LSU was hot in here in Texas. I mean, it's just amazing. Arkansas, I mean, it is just amazing to see the out-of-state schools have such a big impact on the kids here in the state of Texas.
I was listening to Snoop's show that he produces, Light the Tower, with Jeff Howe and Craig Way in the afternoon, and Snoop was running down the guests for the show tonight, kind of teasing the Flex Show, and he mentioned you, and Jeff Howe kind of lit up and said that you're his, like, insider for University of Texas baseball and potential recruits. Can you talk about that relationship that you have with Jeff and how you guys got to know each other?
Oh, my gosh. Jeff and I...
You're a star, Donald. We talk about you a lot, so...
Oh, oh my God, Snoop. So Jeff and I, years ago, I'm talking maybe 11, 12 years ago, Jeff and I can't remember how it got started, but we just developed a friendship based on recruiting. And he was football and I was baseball. And it just went off of there. And I love baseball and he loves football, but it was just, we both have a passion for the high school athletes.
All right. Donald J. Boyles. I didn't want to keep you too long, Donald, but I know, like, if you're so busy during the baseball season and we want to talk to you, but you're shooting like every waking moment. And if you're not shooting, you're probably editing or you're actually sleeping and trying to eat food. So,
yes, sir.
we're glad we got to squeeze it in. And again, like, everybody loves you, bro. Like, and they love when you're on the show. So we'll definitely talk to you maybe later this summer as we get into the fall.
Please
but,
do.
But before we let you go, are you shouting out to anybody tonight?
Oh, my gosh, the Texas high school baseball coaches. Without them, I could not do what I do.
Check him out on YouTube, y'all. Go get ring up those hits. Donald J. Boyles, if you know high school baseball, you know him. And if you don't, you just, like you said, your ears. I was going to make a Helen Keller joke. That'd been terrible. what the heck? I'm slapping my hand for something I didn't even say wrong. Anyway, Donald, before I get fired, thank you. We love you.
No, thank you.
Keep doing your thing. We'll see you on social.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
It's a flex. Zach?
You know, I think that was a great point by Mr. Boyles. If you think about the football season, you think about seasons like Weiss, that the potentially were going to be one of the best seasons in that school's history, the short history. You think about some of these huge games that we didn't get to see because of COVID, and that was really not the case with baseball. I mean, these coaches and players did such a good job with the protocols. I think things were loosening up a little bit by that time, but it's really it was on the players to stay healthy and to do what they needed to do to get the season done, and I think that's why we saw such a successful year for Austin baseball.
All right. Thank you so much to Donald J. Boyles for joining the show. For real, that guy is a GOAT. Man, I want to say he's like on the level like a John Gutierrez for the Statesman, but even like in a different universe and maybe in ways bigger. Donald J. Boyles is a GOAT. Anyway, it's a flex. Time is 7:40. This is a live show. My name is Snoop Daniel. That's Zach Lucero. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at FLXATX. Socials blowing up.
TikTok blowing up.
It is.
Jay Lambert blowing up.
Oh, God. I cannot wait till the 8 o'clock hour. Coming up at 8, we're going to openly kind of talk about the things that have been going on
next,
on social
next
media.
Next week, we're going to have Jay on.
Okay,
what, good. Next week, we'll talk to Jay about going viral.
And I'm telling, okay, and one of the guys that we're going to be kicking it with, College Station, yeah. June 25th through the 26th, Georgetown DB / linebacker, Trent McConnell, class of 22 on the phone. Trent, we appreciate you joining the show, 18. Thank you.
What's up? Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Trent, hey, man, tell us about a Corpus, you know, how y'all went down there. That's a 3.5. Dude, from Georgetown, Corpus is like a 4-hour drive. So I'm glad.
Sure.
Can you tell us about how y'all got the qualification for the state tourney done last weekend?
Yes, sir. We went down there. We played 4 games, went undefeated, went back and forth that last game and pulled it out, got enough stops at the end. It was a lot of fun, though. We enjoyed it. Yes, sir.
Now, you know what, with Georgetown, it's almost, I don't want to say like it's an erase and replace thing, but kind of it is, because y'all, usually by the time a guy reaches his senior season, he probably had a senior before him that played a lot of time. So you is a little different because you've been on the scene and really been making a big impact since a super sophomore. Can you kind of talk about what it feels like heading into your senior year?
It means a lot, man. Now I'm just here for those younger kids, leading those kids, show them how we do it at Georgetown. That Eagle Five never dies. Really just keep that culture going.
Yeah, you talk about the culture and kind of trying to mentor some of the younger players on the team that are really the future of the program. Something that we didn't have last year to do some of that is 7-on-7. This year we had it. You mentioned how you were going to see you guys at College Station next week after qualifying in Corpus. Can you talk about really what 7-on-7 does for your team and how big of an impact it's going to make for you guys this year, actually having 7-on-7 as opposed to last year when you guys unfortunately weren't able to play?
Yes, sir, for sure. It's big for us this year. We're so young. We needed it to grow up, to grow the team, and just to figure out who we are. And I felt like last week we really took big strides in a lot of ways and really proved how good we can be in this upcoming season.
So hopefully y'all's Corpus trip wasn't all work and no play. Can you talk about some of the fun you guys had? Did y'all make it to the beach? How many Buc-ee's did y'all stop at on the way?
Yeah, for sure. We made it to the beach both days. It was a lot of fun. It was big for we grew as a skill group tremendously. Just hanging out with each other, spending a whole weekend with each other. It was a lot of fun.
And then can you talk about College Station? I mean, I know you guys kind of qualified late. You've seen the list that we've posted of some of the teams from Austin that are going to take place, like Lake Travis, Hutto, Westlake, Cedar Park, schools like that. What do you guys have to do? What do you guys have to work on to be able to be super competitive and make a run to win the state tournament next weekend?
Yes, sir. We just gotta keep improving, keep growing, and all offensively, defensively. And I feel like we're making strides, and we just got to keep in that direction, you know.
Trent McConnell, Georgetown defensive back, linebacker. You mentioned some of the younger guys. Can you talk about some of those guys' names? Some of the guys that we should be looking out for. Some guys maybe that are making an impact in 7-on-7 that you expect to have a big year this year once the season rolls around.
For sure. Offensively, receiver, Drayden Dickman, he got some snaps last year. Marquise Dominguez is 1-2 punch. It's going to give a lot of teams a lot of problems this year. And defensively, in the secondary, Ian Lewis, Gabe DeNova, they bring a lot of tools to our defense that we've been looking for.
So you're our second Georgetown guest that we've had on the show today. We already interviewed Bo Denscore from the baseball team. And we mentioned a little bit before, kind of in the intro to the show, just the athletic culture that you guys have built over there at Georgetown. It seems like every year, every sport is very competitive, if not competing, not let alone in the district level, but at the state level. What is it like being an athlete at Georgetown? And can you talk about just the athletic culture and expectation that being an athlete over there has?
Yeah, I think it starts with the community and the way that they support all the athletic department. And our coaches just expect to win. Every coach just expects us to win, and the kids buy in, and it's kind of a close, just expected over there.
Trent McConnell, Georgetown Eagles, defensive back, linebacker, qualified for state 7-on-7. We're going to see him next weekend. You'll see a bunch of content on the FLX ATX social medias. Trent, you know how we do it, man. Who are you shouting out to before we let you go?
I want to shout out my family, my mom, dad, sister. They've always been there for me. Shout out my coaches over there at Georgetown, for sure.
All right, Trent McConnell, number 18. Did you know Leggett, Caden Leggett, did you ever watch him growing up?
Yeah, he was crazy. In my eighth grade year, he's the best high school football player I've ever watched.
Bro, for real. And I'm telling you, if you were 18 for Georgetown, the school believes in you. And Trent, you've been a beast for a minute. One last one. I mean, I know this interview is running long. One more question. The Kenyon offer, I saw that come down less than an hour ago. How did that come about?
Yes, sir.
How did that come about?
I just got on the phone with them earlier today, and they offered me high academic school up in Ohio. Really, really cool situation.
Okay, Lee. I know that was a long interview. That's like 3 minutes. We kept
you're good.
Trent, we appreciate you. We'll see you in College Station here next Friday, EFND. Thank you. All right.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having
me. All right. That's what's up. It's a flex. Zach?
EFND, man. It really never does. These kids have such deep connections to their school, even when they're done. And you heard it in the interview how he's so invested in helping some of the younger classmen. And that's why they're so competitive, is the talent trickles down and the culture trickles down. And I'm excited to watch him next weekend.
Bro, it's going to be so lit. Darson Herman, he's starting to get his offers. He got the offer from Davidson just the other week. So I think things are just starting recruiting-wise to pick up for Darson Herman, who is the younger brother of former Georgetown Eagles starter and UIW Incarnate Word quarterback Darson Herman. So, Chandler Herman.
Chandler Herman. Yeah, I remember when it was him. It was him, Charlie Brewer. And I think the guy from...
What school?
The guy from Westwood, maybe.
Oh, Will Jennings?
No. It was another guy. It was another guy, but I used to call him... I used to host another football show, and I used to call him the Killer C's.
Jack Swinson?
No, it's over the C. But we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out over the break.
Hey, let's... Okay. Yeah. Okay, hold on. Connor, hold on. We're going to take our commercial break real quick, and we're going to come back to you, okay?
All right,
that's my boy, Connor Eleanor, the GOAT, Photog, headed to UT. We'll talk about his high school days and what he has coming ahead next. It's a flex.
Flex ATX, Thursday night. Time is 7:51. I'm your host, Zach Lucero, at Zach Ain't Whack on all my social medias, at FLX ATX for all of our social medias. Run by the greatest producer, one of the best social media talents in the Austin area, Mr. Snoop Daniel.
Hey.
One of the other best social media and just media talents in the area, and that includes the people that run Joe Rogan's show.
Yes.
That includes the people that run Longhorn Network.
Yes.
No shade to Longhorn Network. That includes...
That includes who else?
Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson.
Rick Cantu, maybe a little shade, I don't know. Huge shout out. This guy is a mega talent. We welcome to the show,
hey.
Connor Eleanor. What's up, buddy?
Hey,
it's the GOAT. hey, Connor, first off, I want to ask about UT. I mean, we're like the Longhorn flagship station here, even though Flex is not UT. We're like high school athletics. But how did you fall into such a prestigious position? And you haven't even been on the 40 acres officially as an academic student yet, I don't think. I mean, maybe you have. I don't know. But
no, you're right. I actually have not been. But honestly, I was like, as soon as I knew I wanted to go to UT, like, and I knew I wanted to do some form of videography, you know, media for the athletic department, I went ahead and I had known somebody who had done that. I'd reached out to him, and they were able to.
Was it Trevor Hines?
No, it was Angela Wayne.
Okay.
She's a big photographer down there. She does great work. So shout out to her. But she was able to get me connected all in, kind of show me the ropes, get me connected to the right people. And from there, it's kind of taken off. And I you're right. I haven't even stepped on campus yet.
And people are already talking about you being the UT intern. So that's lit, Connor.
Yeah, so the reason I ask about if it was Trevor Hines, so Trevor Hines is part of the Flex ATX team now, does a bunch of our... If the video looks good, it's probably because Trevor helped do it. He does a bunch of the graphics for 104.9 The Horn, but he used to be a part of the creative team when he was at the University of Texas, assigned to the volleyball team, and that really rocketed him to a paid position here, a salary position with The Horn, a part of building this Flex ATX brand, and it's really just... a propeller for you to take off and to do what you want to do. So can you talk about what you hope and what you expect to be doing with this position for the University of Texas?
Yeah, so I actually kind of know a little bit what I'll be doing my freshman year, so I will be covering football games. That's, UT football is a big, that's the University of Texas right there. That's what people know. And from there, after football, however long that goes, I'll be going into basketball. But other than that, I mean, UT's got so many great sports. I mean, you really can't go wrong.
So you mentioned covering football, covering basketball, covering some other sports. Can you talk about the stuff that you've done leading up to this point that you'll be able to call back on the experience or something you can use as an example for stuff that you've done in your time as a high schooler?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really over this past year, I think I didn't miss a single week of this past season. So I think I went like 16 weeks straight of just going from games to games. And just that, I think the biggest deal to draw back on is probably the process of just, setting up, getting my mind right for a game, really thinking about like how I want to go out, how I want to tell the story of these athletes, of this game. And honestly, like every week doing that, even in high school, like by the end, I was making my best content, my best, storytelling. And I just hope to carry that over into UT. I mean, I think, going to so many big games in high school, it has definitely helped. But there's definitely going to be nothing like DKR rocking with, 104, 105,000. Yeah. It's going to be huge. It's going to be crazy.
Dude, Connor, first of all, before I ask my next question, so like I've been a part of like Austin high school sports media for a really long time. Like I interned when I was in college, and I remember seeing you around like covering stuff. And dude, you've gotten so good, not only in your product, but just how you carry yourself, how you do interviews like this. You've really come out of your shell, and you're just on cloud 100,000 right now. So huge shout out and huge congratulations to you, man. But my question, when you think back of all the stuff that you've done, covering Greg Brown, covering Seth Ford, covering your Round Rock High School team, what is the most fun or your favorite piece of media that you've created so far?
Well, tough question.
Oh, man. That's cool. Man, you got me going to have to think. But honestly, just thinking back, probably one of my favorite ones I was really happy to be there for that like really got me was when Round Rock beat Lake Travis. That was really big for our school. And I mean, Round Rock, we've had some tough moments in sports. I mean, we try to stay at the top, but we have had some tough losses. So to be there, to be able to tell that story at like a really high level, and to just kind of capture that like such a historic moment for my school and for all those guys out there, that was probably number one for sure for this year.
Which Round Rock team was better, the 19 or the 20 team?
I think this past year's. I mean, I know we didn't go as far, but there's just something about them. It's just really great.
Yeah.
With COVID season going on, a really tough district, and kind of some arch nemesis, having to go up against Vandrift, and then we had to beat Vista Ridge, and just kind of, having gutsy performances, throughout the year. And then, having a duel with Lake Travis in round one, I mean, it really doesn't get much tougher than that.
Yeah.
And y'all were going to beat Steele in round two.
Y'all were. Oh, my God. We don't even want to talk about that.
Yeah.
And Connor, what happened to Round Rock as a whole? Because it seemed, you know, baseball, softball, soccer, like every program won a district title. Like, what happened to
it? Yeah.
I know Class of 21 is built differently, but...
I mean, you pretty much said what I was going to say. I you know, growing up, like, I mean, I guess my class was, like, I wouldn't want to say, like, throughout all the schools I've been at, they've been, like, the top class. But coming into Round Rock, I mean, like, you know, just seeing these athletes as freshmen and sophomores, I'm like, man, like, we got something really special. And, like, while it didn't peak, like, immediately, like, as senior year kind of came around and, you know, football 1-1, basketball, I'm like, you know, okay, like, we're getting some momentum. And, you know, our girls soccer team is always great, and then softball, and, you know, and then baseball and girls soccer, all that, I'm just like,
man.
Oh my god, like, it's really happening. Like, our you know, our class is kind of showing out. They're like, put some respect on our name.
Yeah, Connor, that's probably the only thing I regret not being able to collaborate with you with when we were doing Fan Stand is the expansion kind of that Flex is doing, covering other sports and actually giving them a chance to be featured more. And you talked about how at a University of Texas, all sports do excellent. I mean, even the rowing team were national champions. But, I mean, just, you know, shining light on female athletics and other athletics besides just football is so important.
Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree. I'm a huge fan. Like, I was just at the U.S. Women's National Team soccer game last night. And I'm just like, I'm a huge proponent of all sports, but really, you know, females within sports, I'm like, you know, let's empower them. Like, let's get this movement going. Like they are just as good. Like, we got elite athletes that their stories need to be told. They need to get some spotlight. So I'm glad to see that it's kind of beginning to move forward, and let's just keep pushing it.
Yeah. Well, Connor, man, thank you. Like I said, like 5 minutes, you gave us a full 10, so I appreciate you. Your story is so compelling, and we're just really beginning it. So much success in the future. We'll be watching you as a Longhorn flagship station and all that you do. Before we let you go, are you shouting out to anybody?
My parents, my brother, just all my close friends, God, of course, y'all. I mean, Snoop, you've been such a big part of, you know, kind of how I've, you know, become what I've become. All the UT people. Shoot, there's just too many, but that's all I got for now.
There's a lot, bro, and you're going to get even bigger. So we'll say we knew Connor when. All right, Connor Eleanor, future UT creative intern, Round Rock High School alumni, and an all-time GOAT. Connor, thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
It's a Flex, Zach.
Dude, he's basically an alum of, like, every school in Austin.
Yeah, basically. Leander, Vandergrift.
Every school claims him. Cedar Park.
You know, that was what was special. You know, when he was able to kind of go out on his own his senior year, he, like, his style is so unique, and the level of it went up so far. It was really a blessing to the entire Central Texas area that not just Round Rock was able to enjoy his artistry.
Yeah, I think it was a blessing to everyone that follows him on social media, too. I mean,
yes.
It was kind of like OG Fan Stand days is like oh, like when we didn't, you didn't have an iReporter at every school. So it'd be like, oh, is Fan Stand at our game today? Like, oh, is Connor Eleanor at our game today?
Exactly. So, Connor, congratulations.
Shout out.
We're overdue for a break, but when we come back, we'll break down State 7's a lot to talk about. We'll also talk about all the coaching changes that happened this week. A lot to get to. It's a Flex.
Video Business Services Studios. You're listening to KTXX.
The culture turn to a coach.
Flex ATX.
Don't compare me to other rappers. That's a
fucking new song. Derek. Snoop, you the Derek Rose of this. You done balled twice.
Derek Rose of Austin Area High School Athletics.
You done balled twice.
I'll take it. I done balled like four times, bruh.
Flex ATX, man. It's Thursday night. You got nothing better to do. We only interview the best of the best over here, man. I'm your host, Zach Lucero, at Zach Ain't Whack on all social media. Fire first hour, bringing you even more heat to start the second. We're getting produced by a GOAT, Mrs. Snoop Daniel. How's it going, Snoop?
I'm doing good. Will you introduce our next GOAT guest, please?
Our next guest is probably one of the hottest Austin area recruits right now. You've heard of Braylon James. You've heard of Bo Edmondson.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Cade Klubnik.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Caleb Burton.
Yeah.
But you've heard of Chuuk Speed. But do you know all of the pieces of that puzzle? One of the biggest pieces, one of the hottest pieces right now is Che Nwabuku, Bro, thank you so much for joining the show.
Shay, yeah.
Yo, yo, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, we're doing good, man. We're so glad we got you on the show, man. Like I said in your intro, bro, you're on fire right now. I think, for sure.
I like the intro.
Yo, people, I don't think people understand. Let's just get right into it. I don't think people understand. People talk about speed in football. Like, I love Jay Lambert. That's my boy. Jay Lambert is football fast. Che is track fast. There is a big difference. So, Che, does speed kill?
Oh yeah, you see it on the field every time.
So do you? So when you talk about your game and kind of how you translate to the next level, I mean, I know you still have a lot to prove, and you're still writing all the pieces, all the parts to your story in your high school career. But when you kind of project your game to the next level, who's a player that you can kind of liken your skill set to?
I've been watching a lot of players recently throughout college, but person I really compare myself to is Jalen Waddle. You see how he moves on the field, and you see just the speed, the explosiveness, and the way he can make plays. So I feel like I can compare myself to him.
Jay, you like I said and talked about, I talked about recruiting. Your recruiting is on fire. You recently, I don't know if you did this on purpose because we had you on the radio show today trying to get some shine or what, but huge shout out to you for naming your top five right now for recruiting.
Yeah.
Purdue, Marshall, Pitt, Liberty, who had really a breakout year this year, and Michigan. How hard was what was your thought process? How hard was the decision making to narrow it down to those five?
It was a real hard little process because, always the first time, picking colleges and all that, for my future. But I just picked you, showed me the best interest, and I thought, would be the top five best schools for me to go to.
And sorry, one more question, Sue. Yeah. And with Chooks at Texas Tech, watching him and being there with him through that recruiting process, what were you able to learn and what were we able to kind of pick up from being a part of his journey to end up at Texas Tech that you're able to take and be a part of yours?
I really learned just to always stay in contact with a lot of coaches, especially the ones who've been showing you a lot of love, and just camp a lot, visit, just take all this process in slowly and then just work with it until you finally see what your decision really is.
All right, Che Wabuku, Maynard Mustangs on the phone, just announced his top five for his collegiate picks. Che, now I want to ask you about Maynard football. And Maynard, at any given year, they can go 2-8 for all I know the year before and then make them run to the state quarterfinals the next. And I was there, and I witnessed you help carry Maynard to upset one of the best teams in the state, Cedar Park. That was like 2 years ago. It feels like 100 years ago. But can you kind of talk about this this upcoming year? I know Jayden Cofield, he comes over from Del Valle to give y'all some more solidarity up front. But can you kind of talk about the Maynard football team as a whole coming into next year?
Right now, currently, what I'm seeing is just a bunch of young men growing and becoming better football players and becoming more disciplined football players. We've been working on that a lot. So I see our football I see our whole football team coming together, especially from last year to now. It's a big difference.
Yeah, and it will be different this year because y'all didn't have spring ball, and Coach Keller opted to do a longer, a two-a-day session starting earlier in August. So what do you do to chill? Like, people see Che, like, we always see you running, working out, playing football. Like,
I'm pretty sure, based on social media, that's all he does is just train. Yeah. He's probably training. He's probably sprinting with us right now.
And he's so calm. His breathing is collected. Yeah, but what does Che do to chill and to have a good time?
I just like being on a video game a lot, like twiddling my fingers, doing me.
What do you play? What are your games right now?
Right now, I'm playing Call of Duty real hard.
Okay, Call of Duty, Warzone, or what's your favorite online setup?
I don't know.
Y'all
put me on the spot.
I can't pwn not one noob. Like, I will go through a whole mission, have zero kills. So, like,
Snoop's one of those people.
You one of them type of people.
This is a perfect way to describe it. You know how, like, when you give your girl the sticks and they don't know how to move both of them at the same time? where like you either walking or looking. Man, that's what Snoop looked like.
Oh man, come on, man. Okay.
Hey, but Jay, one more question for me. So a big hot topic lately is this state 7-on-7 tournament next weekend. Maynard doesn't do state 7-on-7. Can you talk about how good your Maynard squad in 7-on-7 would be if you guys had a team?
You know, 7-on-7 is a whole different game. You know, I don't talk about that much because people really get into it. And but you put Maynard into the 7-on-7 EQT tournament, it's a wrap for everybody. But like I said, you know, I don't talk about that much.
Yeah. All right, that's all right, Jay. We appreciate you coming on the show, fam. Thank you so much. Like, this year coming up for you is huge, and it just seems like we've been watching you forever. So it's almost like we've watched you growing up. So congratulations on all the offers. There's definitely more coming. And before we let you go, who are you shouting out to tonight?
You know, always shout out my dad. Shout out God. Shout out just you know, everybody who's been supporting me throughout this whole journey since freshman year. You know, just. Shout out to him, man.
All right, Che Wabuku. Class of 22, he was our super sophomore MVP. Can't believe time is flying by so fast. A Division I bound. So proud of you, Che. Thank you for joining the show tonight.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Thank you. You have a good one.
That's what's up. Hey, shout out to your dad, too. All right, it's a flex. Zach?
Man, I remember, I talk about him a lot. It's one of my good friends, Tyler Herrick. I remember him sending me Che's, like, track times. And being like, dude, this is like legitimate track, like next level transcend football speed. And you can tell, man. I remember watching DeJay Johnson run around people at Henderson. Like that dude was
track fast. That's a great comp. That's a great Che comp is DeJay Johnson.
And it's just a different level of fast. I mean, like you see these guys that are just built big, that have speed there.
Yeah.
But DeJay was fast.
Yeah.
Like he could run track and beat people in that. And Che is running track and beating people in that. And then you put that on the football field, who's going to catch that?
And honestly, really, he's so young. He's 16. So I think, right, honestly, like technically, I think he really age-wise should be going into his junior season. So he's already at this level at a young age. His DNA is set. And he has the coaching around him that's going to put him on a path to greatness. I expect like almost like Deuce Vaughn greatness.
That whole like family is just crazy, freaky athletes. Like if there were some aliens that were going to come abduct people and like run tests to see what humans are really like, I would hope they get one from that family so they could represent us well enough.
Hey, shout out Wham Nation too, because anytime that Maynard is good in football, it's going to be good for like the flex culture and everything. And I'll tell you, 11-5A, I'm not saying Coach Absek leaving completely changes the landscape. I'm just saying it's going to give teams like Maynard just a little bit more advantage. A coach like Coach Keller, you know, with a mind like Absek away from Cedar Park. Again, I watched Maynard beat Cedar Park in the game before the state quarterfinal. With my own eyes.
Yeah, but you talk about Coach Absek leaving and what that does to that Cedar Park team. I mean, we just got finished 2 weeks in a row watching a Cedar Park team without Coach Absek look really good out in 7-on-7.
7-on-7, yeah.
Like Chase said, and like we say all the time on the show, it's a different sport. But Josh Pell, all the pieces that they have over at Cedar Park, I don't think they miss a beat.
All right. Well, best of luck to Che Wabuku. Thank you. That was our big guest of the night, so glad he was able to phone in. All right, let's continue on. Let's bring in Flex family member, the Familia, former All-District Westlake Chaparral's DB.
The first defensive back in Westlake history.
The first ever defensive back in Westlake history.
He built the Austin Radio Network studio with his bare hands.
With flip-flops on.
With flip-flops on.
Oops. Oh, God. Hold on. I think I messed that up. Hold on. Derek, I'm sorry. Did you like that intro?
I'm not done.
Oh, he's not done. Hold on, Derek. Hold on.
He is the heartbeat of this whole station. Nothing happens at this station without Derek Cohen knowing about it. I intro Snoop Daniel as the greatest of all time. You're only the greatest of all time because Derek Cohen exists.
Yes.
Derek Cohen, thank you so much for blessing us with your presence on the show.
Y'all, man, I love y'all. I miss y'all. Hey, hot take. Jay Lambert's going to be 4-star before he graduates. What do y'all think about that?
You know, I think that's So I think we could all agree. I think we could all agree that, Jay Lambert is beyond due to be
underrated
to be,
for sure.
And this is a guy that has no offers. He has no Division I offers that he's posted right now. And I just can't wait for the offers and the blessings start raining on this kid. He's a great kid. He has so much fun. He's been a huge part of us building our brand. But this interview is about you, Derek. You've really been like I said, a monumental piece of building this Flex brand over. We got Snoop over here from FanStan. You guys are allowing me to play a bigger part, which I am so thankful for. But in your eyes, when you think of Flex and we have these meetings on Wednesdays and the phone calls on Tuesdays, what do you project Flex to be here in the next few years?
Flex is gonna grow so big, man. I mean, it's in Austin right now, but you're gonna see Flex in Houston. You're gonna see Flex in Dallas. It's Flex ATX right now, but think about Flex DFW. Think about Flex HTX. It's gonna be big, man. I'm excited. We're nothing but up from here, and I just want to thank y'all for the passion y'all have and the camaraderie we have just on these calls and on the meetings that we have. It's just I just see all the passion and how much y'all love these kids in this area, and I don't know, man. It's just too much. I just want to do so much for everybody, and it's just the crew we have is unbelievable, and I think it's nothing but up here from now on.
And Derek, you were really a monumental part in a monumental piece of what FanStan was back at Snoop's other place, and you got to grow up through the height of that. What was it about FanStan that made it so special, and how are you seeing that already in the Flex ATX culture?
The kids just eat it up, man. It's not about us. It's about the kids, and we just love showing the kids off and hyping them up. So I mean, with how fast it changed from FanStan to Flex, and Snoop's just social media guruism, if that's even a word. It's just all the kids are eating it up, and you just see all the love that the kids have for each other, and just getting portrayed on the radio and on social media. It's just eating it all up. That's basically it. It's awesome.
And my last question to you, Derek. Thank you so much for calling, bro. Like we had like a little time, and I was like, man, we need to get Derek on the show. Derek is hype.
Yes.
I'm at the Del Diamond right now. I'm getting nachos with BK, and I had it in my hands full, so I just got back to the seat.
So for those that don't know, Derek really does play a big part here at Austin Radio Yes. Network. His title allows him to really be in close with a lot of the really high up people. So Derek, when you mention Flex ATX and you hear the rumblings of Flex ATX being talked about by people that aren't me, you, Trevor Nolan, and Snoop, when you hear it being talked about by Craig Way, what is the attitude and what is the hype around Flex ATX here at the Austin Radio Network?
The best thing I saw was when we just got the new shirts in. Thank you, Mr. Lucero. I was opening them up, and Craig Way is just finishing off his show, and sure enough, he looks over, he's like, Derek, in Craig Way's voice, can I get one of those? And I was like, oh my God, Craig Way wants one of these shirts. it was like unbelievable. But I mean, everybody has so much. They just think it's nothing but up for Flex right now. The dedication that we all have as a team, and Snoop's sleeping habits. It's all just a lot of hard work going into this, and everybody really has high hopes for what Flex can be, and I think we're on the right path to greatness.
Well, I hope you threw the shirt to Craig and said say goodnight to it as the shirt was in the air. But Derek, yeah. You know how we do it, man. Before we let you go, again, thank you so much for calling. Yeah. Thank you. We gotta have Nolan on, even when he's not here. We gotta call Ab Nolan calling one day, so all the homies can have been on the show. But you know the deal, man. Who are you shouting out to?
Flex fam. I mean, just shout out to y'all just for everything that y'all do. I just appreciate everything. So shout out to the Flex fam, Snoop, Trevor, Zach, Nolan, everybody.
Thank you, Derek. Derek Cohen, everybody, DC, former Westlake. Derek, thank you for real. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
All right. Now he's gonna go back and watch the game. It's a Flex.
Yeah. Now he's like back to working. Like he's back to like doing promotions.
Correct.
That's a hard worker right there.
Let's go ahead and go to Paul Wall because we said we're going to have him on at 8:20. It's 8:23. We'll push our commercial break a little up. Thank you, Lise, and all the hard Janet, all the people that work so hard on the commercial logs because we've got to pay the bills. Paul Rodriguez, Recon Athlete, on the phone right now. Paul, thank you for joining us as always, family.
Hey, my pleasure, man. How are y'all feeling tonight?
Feeling wonderful, wonderful. So I guess is the kicker from the Austin area going to Texas the biggest recruiting news this week when you talk about Will Stone from Regents verbally committing to head to the 40 acres?
Yeah, you have to admit, I think that is the biggest news of the week so far. But for Will Stone to kind of get that commitment and follow in, you know, to the long legacy that we have for Austin kickers, Justin Tucker is the most recent notable name. And, you know, I know Dicker's out there also, you know, roaming around, going to land on the team soon in the NFL. But I'm looking forward to seeing how, you know, he's going to make that transition to the 40 acres. But that's the most exciting news. And that edit, though, whoever put that edit together at Texas, that was a dope edit for him.
Paul, okay, so like I said, most of the offers, there's just a lot of camps going on really right now. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about a situation that we heard allegedly that Arizona State was having mm-hmm. kids on campus during the NCAA dead period, and your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's all a lot of, you know, hearsay right now, rumors. I think if we do see a big, I don't want to say punishment, but if we do see some kind of adverse action taken by the NCAA, then we'll have to really believe that really was occurring. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt so far right now to Coach Herm Edwards. He's never struck me as a guy who is going to bend the rules that far. So I'm just going to reserve my judgment on his part right now. But like I said, if we do see the NCAA come down and lay down any kind of sanctions or any kind of punishment to Arizona State, we'll have to really believe that was occurring. But listen, man, this is college football. This is going to happen. There's so much competition. There's literally billions of dollars on the lines for these universities, and they're trying to figure out a way, you know, to walk on the other edge of the rule book. I'm just going to put it right there. They're walking on the line, but it's on the other side. It's on the other edge.
You know, Paul, you play to win the game.
You play to win the game. Now, Paul, I know, like, we talked about it briefly, was how a program like Liberty Hill was going to get more recognition as far as recruiting from a D1 school, Lloyd Johnson. And we see the Recon Athlete edit with the Houston Baptist offer. And then the second part of my question, and really should just be two different questions, but is Austin Novosade, where do you rank him amongst Austin area underclassmen who haven't yet verbally committed to a school?
Oh, that's a great two-part question. Let's stick with Lloyd on the first part with Liberty Hill. He also landed an offer from the FCS national champion Sam Houston State Bearcats. Yes. You know, so go ahead. He got that offer as well. And I think more offers like that and having the – and there's big kids out there. That's what people, I think, get a little bit confused when they run the slot T, is that, oh, it's a bunch of shorter, you know, more stocky kids who don't have the speed. And that's completely untrue with what the athletes they have out there. But yeah, Lloyd Johnson, I think he may even go D1 mid-major. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we start seeing like Louisiana's trying to get him, Texas State's, and then transitioning and pivoting to Austin Novosade. Snoop, I went back and I watched his, when he got that offer from Baylor, I was like, there's something here that I think a lot of people are missing. We saw what he did last year in Dripping Springs when he had his, you know, prolific receivers there with Alford and with O'Bannon. He's going to have even more targets, I think, coming up to this year as his junior year.
Yes.
But I went back and I watched his huddle and I said, let me watch it again. Let me watch it again. And I watched it four times and I had to go back and I said, let me look at pro style throwing motions. And his comp, in my opinion, this is a humble opinion with a small mic, his comp is Peyton Manning. The way he's getting the ball out and it's such a quick release, I think that he has a huge upside. We went ahead and just gave him a 4 stars. He is in the mix with the top quarterbacks in the Austin area, with Cade Klubnik, with Bo Edmondson. He's going to be right up there, and there is something special, I think, brewing in Dripping Springs, especially with them being in division or a classification 5A D1. They may be very special. They may be replacing Cedar Park as the top school with Coach Abseck leaving to Barbara Hills.
Yeah, Coach Galen Zimmerman is definitely working something special. And Paul, when you even talk about drip outside of football, you talk about the girls' soccer team winning the state championship. You talk about the baseball team going into the game just before the state Final Four, losing in the 14th inning to Rouse on a crazy walk-off. Dripping Springs as a whole is on the rise. And I think Austin Novosad, I want to say he's almost come out of nowhere to become elite. And it's really exciting. Exciting to watch, and he's just coming out of his sophomore year going into junior season.
Most definitely. I know his brother's on the squad as well, I believe, as a receiver, and I think that's what a lot of time we're going to see these you get to see the preview, Snoop. You're so lucky with your baseball coverage. You get to see these athletes when they're competing in the spring and then they transition to sevens and into the fall. I have high hopes for that school out there in Dripping Springs. Yeah. But it's going to be a fun time, and so many new things going on as far as the coaching ranks here locally in the Austin area. It's a fun time right now. I think we're going to have a lot more big name coaches like we just had with the 6A classifications, with John Walsh coming into San Marcos, Bobby Acosta to Del Valle, and then now that we have such big names coming into Austin, I think we are going to have a fun time as we move forward with our coverage, as people who are doing it.
Yeah, and just a couple of guys that Novosad will be throwing to, besides Preston Alford, who's had several Division I offers, but Garen Duncan, who's also a class of 23, as well as Noah Lawyer, the big receiver on the outside. So, Paul, great stuff as always. Appreciate you coming on at 8:20 or any time that we can get you on a Thursday night. We're super appreciative. Before we let you go, are you shouting out to anybody tonight?
Oh, man, let's just shout out to all the young people out there sacrificing and grinding. It's camp season. It's, it's time for everybody to go out there and showing off and get those highlights out. But I want to just give a special shout out to, Papa Romeo and my family out here who are enjoying the time and enjoying your program. Snoop, we've been talking about this for a long time, and it's pretty cool to kind of see where Flex ATX is now, where Recon Athlete is now. It's fun, and I just want to thank you and Zach and Nolan and your team, Derek, for letting us be a part of you on Thursday nights.
Hey, that's what's up. Papa Romeo, shout out to you. Paul Rodriguez, Recon Athlete, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, family.
Thanks, sir.
All right, it's a Flex, Zach.
Yeah, man, I know we got to get to a break.
Yes.
If we can kind of tease it a little bit. We were so close to seeing this Dripping Springs team a little bit closer than I think anybody else would really be able to cover them in 7-on-7.
In College Day, I didn't even talk about that.
Yeah.
They almost qualified. They got beat by Bridgeland.
They got beat by one of the top quarterbacks in the nation.
Connor Wigman. Yes, Wigman.
Yeah,
there you go.
For Bridgeland.
Good job. Yeah. A&M commit. No, I'm just playing. We love the Aggies, too. It's a Longhorn station. It's also the Flex.
Bucky and Aaron.
Flex ATX Thursday night. The time is 8:37. We're here to tell you what's up with Texas high school sports, especially here in the Austin area. You already heard from some of the biggest guests in the 512. Che Nwabuku, if you haven't heard the name, you're going to hear it soon. Track speed, comes from a family of freakish athletes. And that's what you get. Flex ATX at FLX ATX on all social media. I'm talking TikTok, talking Instagram, talking Facebook, talking Twitter. I'm Zach Lucero, your host for the night, like I am every Thursday night, at Zach and Wack on all social media. I'm getting produced, bringing us the heat, getting his music thing on, Mr. Snoop Daniel.
Yeah, I cannot wait for ACL Fest. I cannot wait for Jambalaya. I can't wait for Coke Fest, August 8th. Co Wetzel. In Hutto, I love the two-step in Hutto. Let me tell you that. Like, I'm jamming this Coach Cheese and Snot, telling them the TikTok viral hit. But like, I will two-step to some Co Wetzel. I'll bust out some Parker McCollum. It's lit.
The Bastrop iReporter like reposted all the Coke Fest stuff.
Who? Oh, Denise.
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
Okay, turn up, Denise.
Because, Bastrop, that's kind of like
it is kind of country.
Out there, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, and in Hutto,
we're some city slickers.
We some city slickers.
Although you're down in Del Valle now, you're getting a little You got like one boot on, one boot off.
Well, I will rock a cowboy hat. I think that's been well noted. Check me out on Fox 7 Austin tomorrow with Dave Fralick. I'll be talking about the State Sevens tournaments at 9:45 on Good Day Austin tomorrow at 9:45 in the morning. But let's give them a preview now before we talk about all the coaching changes that have happened in the Austin area, because we got about... This show flies by. After 8 o'clock, the show flies. We've got like 15 minutes of airtime left, so we might take this all the way to the top, Zach. Let's start with riveting broadcasting. Cedar Park, Timberwolves, State Sevens, last week, they qualify for the first time since 2017 when Mack Sexton was the quarterback. Cedar Park headed back to College Station. However, they lost the coin flip to Bridgeland, and Zach Lucero spoke with QB1 Josh Pell.
Rock, paper, scissors championship to decide the winner of the SQT. Yeah. Unfortunately, you picked scissors.
Mm-hmm. I went scissors.
Scissors for the L?
He went rock. He got me.
What was your thought process? What's going through your mind? I really wanted
to go paper, but then I was going rock, paper, scissors, shoot, and I just kind of forgot, and I just stuck out of scissors. But I wanted paper, but it's all right.
And your next rock, paper, scissors event, what are you throwing?
Going paper.
Going paper going for paper. Sure. All right, Josh, sure. Shout-outs.
Shout out the fam. Shout out to 7-on-17. Shout out Shooter Gang. Shout out Luke. Shout out all the boys.
Okay, now I gotta say, sticking with Cedar Park Sevens, I know the Jay Lambert, a little TikTok Instagram video went viral, but second place, Murray Robinson, defensive lineman for the Cedar Park Timberwolves, Mosses of Vista Ridge, defensive back. People go crazy. This is why I love 7-on-7.
This is why we love 7-on-7, man. This is why we've all of the Flex Fam, as we call ourselves, have been having so fun all summer long. Is the 7-on-7 is just, I mean, we say like no one else. 7-on-7 is like nothing else. I mean, it's unfettered access to these kids. It's amazing play after amazing play. But Cedar Park, we talk about losing Coach Absek, which is huge. It is huge. It's huge to Cedar Park. It's huge to the area. It's huge to just the profile of the coaches that we have here in Austin, because Coach Absek is one of the best. But Josh Pell, those guys, they put on a show this past weekend at Westlake.
I think Pell improved in the pocket this summer because this guy can run, and I would not be surprised if he has more than 800 rushing yards. And if they make a run, I expect Josh Pell to have over 1,000 rushing yards this year. This dude, once you see him run,
As long as it completely changes
his game.
As long as no games come down to rock, paper, scissors, I think he'll be all right.
He should be okay.
For those of you that don't know, the state SQT tournaments, two teams from the tournament qualify.
Out of 16,
four pools of four. Two pools play each other. The winner of that game, winner of each of those games qualify. They used to play one more game, kind of just for bragging rights, because both teams qualified no matter what. This year, because of the heat, things like that, they decided, nah, let's not do this. Let's keep the kids safe. So, Bridgeland, we'll talk about that game here in a bit, versus Cedar Park. Let's figure out who's going to win this game. Let's meet midfield, both teams, super hype, play rock, paper, scissors, choose your champion. Josh Pell was the chosen one for Cedar Park. And this is why mental fortitude is so important in sports. He said he got lost in the sauce, talking about rock, paper, scissors, made him throw scissors even though he wanted to throw paper. You got to be mentally tough. And I think that's the adversity that Cedar Park needs to overcome now in the summer to really get them ready for Vandegrift Week 1.
Yeah, and Cody Marshall, who really broke out last year as a junior, playing both ways during the Westlake SQT, he's without a doubt an all-district defensive back. But what he showed on the offensive end, I think he's going to force Cedar Park's hand at playing him at least a little bit on both sides of the ball. And, you know, he talked about being more of an offensive-minded player.
I've always been an offensive-minded player, but I got to do what the team wants, step up on the defense also. So I just transitioned to a defensive player, but I'm always offense at heart and defense. I'm just a football player, man.
All right, you got any shout-outs, Cody?
Shout-out Bam Bam Kuha. Shout-out Snark Safety. Shout-out the Black Rain, and shout-out the Troop. Let's go.
Ask it on the air. What? the running back that played both
ways. Yeah, so we were trying to talk like amongst ourselves. but when Cedar Park was really good, when Cedar Park was at their peak, you can say they never left.
So they
had a running back that played both ways.
Okay. So I want to ask you, because there's two. Are you talking about Thomas Hutchings?
Hutchings, yeah.
Or are you talking about who may have even been a bigger goat, Tyler Levine?
I think both of them, and you could say they got this guy playing both ways this year. How are they going to make that work? Do they hopefully they play him more offense? I think no. When Cedar Park is at their best, when they have one of these two-way guys. Because you mentioned both of those teams. Both of those teams went to state.
Yep. Yes. Both of them went to state, and they played linebacker and running back. I want to say Tahoe had like 135 tackles on top of 1,000 yards rushing.
Well, Hutchins was just huge.
Tyler Levine is still playing college football right now. Well, he played at SMU last year, had a top 10 play.
Speaking of SMU, just really quick, we're still talking about Cedar Park in this Westlake SQT.
Yes.
But you mentioned Arizona State and what's happening over there. Former McNeil receiver Jordan Curley is no longer at Arizona State. He is currently enrolled and playing receiver at SMU.
Oh, okay. All right. Shout out to McNeil.
Yeah.
0-9 last year, but Coach Scott Hermes, former Vandergrift defensive
Hermes
coordinator.
Hermes Link. Ice Blue Mink.
He's trying to get it back in line and possibly could this year. It's to be continued, but we're just kind of all over the place right now. All right. Let's talk about the teams. Okay, Cedar Park making it last week. Here are the 9 teams so far from Central Texas that have qualified for the state championship tournament. This does not include a St. Dominic Savio, which is playing in the TAPS State Sevens tournament, which is in Dallas, the same dates.
Oh, wow.
So
Shout out Savio.
Yeah, so shout out Savio. And we need to get an eye reporter at Savio. That's going to be the key there. But the 9 teams, 2 of them are going to be Division II, which means they'll start playing on Thursday, and their championship games will be on Friday.
And we'll be there.
Which we'll be there for. All right, in order that they qualified this summer, Lake Travis, Hutto, Westlake, Wimberley, Anderson, LBJ, Cedar Park, Georgetown, Buda Johnson.
I think you look at that list, Buda Johnson is the one that sticks out.
Yeah.
And you know, I was talking to somebody about one of the quarterbacks that we interviewed on the show, and I was like, I don't know about it, because you can just tell from these kids that play quarterback if they've got it or not, just by the way they talk and they carry themselves. And we interviewed that Buda Johnson quarterback,
Jesse Medina.
Dude's got it. He's got it for sure. He's confident. He knows what he's doing. He's well spoken. And so it doesn't surprise me that a school like Buda Johnson can do what they did last year. But it started wowing some people, then got some COVID stuff, and really kind of took a U-turn on their season,
because
the end of the season, you were not talking about them the way you were talking about them in the beginning of the year. But having a guy like him at the helm, it doesn't surprise me that in a quarterback-based game of 7-on-7, they can qualify for state.
And what Canyon did against Cedar Park, almost upsetting them, I think you can almost forgive how Buda Johnson ended the season, because remember, they lost to Canyon, the team that almost upset Cedar Park, and Dripping Springs, which has Baylor offered Austin Ovasad.
Yeah, speaking of that Dripping Springs, we mentioned Cedar Park qualifying at the Westlake SQT. The other side of the field, we were really close to getting to know Austin Ovasad and this Dripping Springs team that admittedly doesn't get the type of love, although we try, that Westlake gets right across the street, because it is on the outskirts of our coverage a little bit, kind of like Bastrop and Cedar Creek and Wimberley and things like that. But one game away from qualifying for state, running into a buzzsaw, a really good team, College Station-esque, Bridgeland Bears, one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. They fall to Bridgeland. That game was never really competitive, but just for Dripping Springs to get there, I think was huge.
Yeah, and they didn't even have Alford when they almost qualified. So imagine if he had played, they might have been a little closer. All right, okay, so I'll just go team by team, maybe get your thoughts on their chances at state, and we'll start with Lake Travis.
You know, this is actually my first year actually going to one of these tournaments. I never went with you at Fanstand. I never went and covered Hendrickson.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So, but everybody knows what Lake Travis is in 7-on-7. I feel like
powerhouse
across the state. Everyone knows Lake Travis 7-on-7. They're just built for it. Bo Edmondson, they have a guy there that's perfect. Isaac Norris, pretty unstoppable at receiver. They have 3 guys really that are just jump ball threats. No, that's Westlake. Sorry, but they have guys over there at. Well, we're going to talk about Westlake soon.
Yes, we will.
But they have guys over at Lake Travis that just make Bo Edmondson's job so easy. He's going to be one of those quarterbacks there that's going to get a lot of attention because of his Division I offers. I think Lake Travis has got to be one of the favorites.
I wonder where he commits to. That's the biggest shoe drop, because Drew Dickey at Regents verbally committed to Vanderbilt. Yeah. Who's it? The other Cade at Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at Bo and Novosad.
Yep.
Shoe drop. But both of them have time. They're both just class of 23. All right. Hutto, before we talk about Westlake.
You know, we've had so much fun with Hutto. I feel like Hutto has been kind of the Vandergriff of 7-on-7. Like, why are you covering so much Hutto? Like, why are you post Hutto so much? And I think Hutto is just really embracing what 7-on-7 is. It's a place to get your work done. It's a place to get better. But it's also a team-building thing for you and your teammates. You're supposed to have fun, and that's what they do out there. They have two quarterbacks that can light it up no matter who's on the field. They have weapons all over the place that we're getting to know more and more each week that are going to be huge factors next year. And they're one of their best players on defense, who is like kind of a run-stopping guy, and Brody Bueno is out there covering people in 7-on-7. I think they're going to be a dark horse in the whole tournament. I think any team that plays Hutto is going to be like, oh, this isn't Lake Travis, this isn't Westlake, we're good. But that's not what it is for Hutto.
For those who don't remember, Hutto actually won the Consolation Bracket Championship 3 years ago with Chase Griffin as their quarterback, who's now... Did he graduate from UCLA already?
Did he get his doctorate already? I don't know.
Anyway, this is crazy. Okay, Westlake, you talked about the jump ballers, Keaton Kubeka, Jayton Greathouse. You have to talk about Adam Sullivan there. You might even have to mention Pierce Hudson. Westlake is sneaky, very, very athletic on the outside.
I think the biggest thing for them, and I think what it always is for Westlake, kind of the same as like Travis too, is just the defense. You know, their offense can score with the best of them, but can their defense get some stops? If their defense gets some stops, that offense is going to score. There's no way you can keep them from doing it. There's the pieces they have, the quarterback that they have, the quarterbacks that they have. I think Westlake is right up there with like Travis. I wouldn't put them 1A and 1B just because it's Lake Travis 7-on-7, but I think a 1-2 punch of Lake Travis and Westlake is going to have Austin covered.
Yeah, Carter Broxdale should be able to make a big name for himself, a guy who is mostly a rugby guy, but I think depending on his role taking up what Mookie Taft used to have to do, Lucas Maru leaving to Columbia, there's spaces for new Westlake DBs to emerge, and we're really going to see that at College Station. Matter of fact, we're talking State 7s, College Station qualified teams. We talked Lake Travis, Hutto, Westlake. Wimberley, honestly, we don't know a ton about.
Let's group them in, though. Let's say Wimberley and LBJ, the two teams from the Austin area that are going to get started a day before we get there, hopefully still competing day two, the championship day over at College Station, a Wimberley team that you covered a state championship run for them, and an LBJ team that you know a bunch of pieces for.
Yeah, and it was speaking of LBJ. Okay, you've heard of Andrew Makuba, who went to Clemson, just signed with Clemson. I think he's on campus
right
now. He is
at Clemson, yeah.
His little brother, Fatu, could possibly be better. Today he just got his second Division I offer from University of Texas, San Antonio. He's a class of 24, just leaving his freshman year already with two Division I offers. And that's just to scratch the surface with LBJ. Cedric Alexander, Caleb Brown, they got a squad.
And I think when you see Wimberley on this list, you're like, oh, Wimberley 7-on-7, like they're such a small school, they probably just run the ball. But if you watch Wimberley football, they're very quarterback based. Their quarterback will throw the ball over the place. You see their quarterbacks going on to Division I schools. So I don't sleep on Wimberley, but LBJ, it surprised me how long it took them to qualify for state, just because they seem tailor made for a game like 7-on-7.
Well, they'll be fine come state. Let me tell you, I thoroughly expect them to be in at least the Elite Eight by the time we're there on Friday for State 7s. Lastly, quickly, Cedar Park, Georgetown, Buda Johnson, the last three teams to qualify. Georgetown got it done down in Corpus. Buda got it done in San Antonio. We've never seen Johnson High School, but we'll see the likes of Rich Kelly, Cade McAllister. We're going to see Ashton Strasser. We'll see a lot of talent for Buda. I'm really excited to see them, especially because I think they were unexpected. Well, for sure unexpected to be at this point. We got 2 minutes.
Shout out Bowie, 7-on-7. Lost a super tough one to Cedar Park. Golly. The game of the year
summer
in 7-on-7.
For Austin area.
Nolan called it. Definitely the game of that pool. Bowie, Cedar Park, that was basically for a bid to that final game. And he probably would have won because you're matching up with a pool A that had Westlake, but really not a team that would have given you any problems after that. Triple overtime. beats Bowie. And I think that just propelled him to win that one. Shout out to Bowie. Shout out to Dripping Springs, like we said. So close.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about, you know, Bowie, Diego Tello just got his first two Division I offers from UTSA and Texas State the week before the tournament. So you talk about his star rising. He's probably entered the top 10 for sure, solidified his top 10 spot as a top 10 quarterback in the Austin area.
Yeah, I think he's a sleeper. I think he's one of those guys that can go that I think projects really well to a smaller school, kind of like the like Kyle Paul mentioned with the linebacker at Liberty Hill. If Diego Tello goes to like UTSA, he could be one of the best quarterbacks they've ever had.
Okay, so I bought us a couple minutes. The big move notes as far as head coaches leaving the Austin area: Cedar Park's Carl Absek leaving for Barbers Hill, Vista Ridge's Rodney Vincent leaving for Shallow Water, and Anderson head coach Daniel Hunter resigning from the Trojans. Your thoughts on those three?
Coach Absek, come on the show next week.
Please, I texted him nothing.
Please, Coach, next time we'll give you more notice, so next week we'll talk to you. But all those guys like Travis Principal, Gordon Butler leaving to South Lake Carroll. I mean, this is that kind of coaching carousel time of the year. You hate to see it happen, but you got to expect it for some of these big time programs.
All right, that's it, man. That was a good 2 hours. We try to do this every Thursday, 7 to 9 o'clock. Flex ATX on socials: Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at FLXATX. Shout out.
Check us out next week. Even deeper dive.
Let me change that song there, Mo. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Check us out next week. Even deeper dive into 7-on-7.
Yes.
Have some guests that we'll be talking to just days later at the SQT at the state tournament in College Station. Shout out to everybody listening. Shout out to you, and shout out to this network for giving me the opportunity. Shout out all my G's. Shout out God. Shout out gang.
You know, I feel a lot better interviewing a kid before a state sevens tournament than a game, because I always feel like if you interview them before a game, people are going to talk about the jinx factor.
Mm-hmm.
But sevens, it's so laid back.
We just interview them all at the same time on a group call.
That would be crazy. That would be like one of those old school 90s 1-900 party numbers before
you get
internet.
Them on the Uvu chat.
I want to shout out to all 9 teams that are going to state sevens. We'll see y'all here in a week and a day. Check me out on Fox 7 Austin tomorrow, 9:45 a.m. I'll preview state sevens. Shout out to all of our guests tonight. Real quick, Bo Denscore of Georgetown, Colin Correjo of Rouse, Donald J. Boyles, baseball photog goat, Trent McConnell, Georgetown football, Che Wabuku, Maynard Mustangs, Connor Eleanor, Round Rock alumni, future UT creative intern. It's been a great night. Check us out on social.
Derek Cohen,
DC Universe. That's it. Yeah? Okay. Plug walk. When my plug talk. Keep looking up. That's where it all is.
Two on with 2 outs. Evans. This is.
That ball's hit hard.
Deep. To left, and it's over the fence, and the Rouse Raiders are your regional final champions.
We won, but that's it.
Your Rouse Raiders are on their way to state, baby.
Yes.
They're on their way to state.
The Longhorns are heading back to